She's a maniac, maniac on the floor.
Don't get it flagged. Don't get it flagged. Stop, stop, stop. Stop, copyright, stop.
You think my singing is so good that the social platforms will flag it?
That's what I said.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Do you know when I'm in a hypomanic episode?
Yeah, let's introduce ourselves and then we can talk about that.
You know who I am.
Yeah, that's Andrea.
I'm a god.
She's having a manic episode. I'm Lizzie Cassidy. I'm regular.
All the rules are just out the window when Andrea's
quiet. Oh, wait, yeah.
All the rules are out the window, and also, I dare you to set a boundary. I dare you to say, please don't do this or please do that. And she will do the fucking goddamn opposite. It's crazy.
It's so tempting.
Yeah, because you're having a manic episode.
It's so shiny.
And you're like, you do that thing that you just did where you're like, you think my singing is so good? Like, no, no. That's not what I meant at all.
One of the most humiliating things about bipolar is the self-aggrandizement. Mm-hmm. Because like normally I'm like, you're a piece of shit, but somehow in hypomania I'm like, yesterday I literally was singing to I was singing in my apartment to Louis Armstrong, and I was like, were you doing the voice? As the dreams of green, red roses too.
That's not bad.
Pretty fucking good.
That's not that bad. All right. Don't scat.
Do you guys want to tell the audience what happened when Andrea, we were doing mic checks? Or are we not telling the world that?
I don't know if the world knew, so I didn't want to bring it up just in case.
The world knows.
Okay, the world knows.
Shout out to our producer, Donnie. our producer, Ronnie, who is a lesbian.
Which we found out today.
I had already known. Ronnie is not necessarily like closeted about it.
Oh, really?
It's not like Ronnie's.
Yeah, she's just also not like annoying about it.
But also, we're at work, so it's not like I ask Ronnie all the time, like, hey, what's your sexual orientation?
No, I think you should have asked in the job interview.
She, her, lesbian.
Are you a she, her, lesbian?
I am a she, her, lesbian.
Oh, we love that. We love a she, her, lesbian.
I love a classic she, her, lesbian.
Very traditional. The original Subaru, the original model.
Yes.
Original
hiking.
Plates. Hiking.
Rescuing a pit bull, et cetera.
So I took a big swing during the mic check.
Before we knew.
And just sing-song my way in, going, Ronnie is a lesbian. And learned in real time that Ronnie is, in fact, a lesbian.
Yeah, all the while, I was speed dialing my lawyer. to say, are we in trouble here? Ronnie is a lesbian.
Well, again, like I pointed out, it's not like you said, and that's a bad thing.
And then you watched me panic and tell Ronnie all my lesbian stories.
Yeah, you just started telling Ronnie about every time you've ever talked to a lesbian.
It was the ultimate, like, I have black friends moment.
I know, it was crazy. You were like, I actually used to have a podcast and it had a lot of lesbian fans, and I was like, what are you doing right now?
No, but I do appreciate
You're like,
that.
I've been to the woods on a Wednesday. That's a Brooklyn reference.
Yeah. Woods on a Wednesday. I apologize, Ronnie, and congratulations on being comfortable with your sexuality.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you did the classic thing that people do to gay people where you were like, oh, so you have the best life? And I was like, I don't know, there's like oppression and stuff.
Wrong moves were made. Every time I was supposed to zig, I zag.
She's having a manic episode.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Ronnie.
Oh, my head hurts.
You gotta love me for who I am.
You literally don't have a choice. Because there's no stopping you. Dude,
I did the weirdest. When I get nervous.
Oh my God, we have to talk about this.
When I get nervous.
When you get nervous, you get so untenably weird.
It's crazy. I'm already a weird guy, but I can usually keep a lid on it. And I was on a show, shout out to CYSK, one of the greatest shows in Brooklyn, that Lizzie recommended me for. And it's a cool kid show.
Yeah.
It's just a bar show on paper, but everyone comes and hangs out and all the comedians.
It's the best bar show, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And comedians hang out in the back and everyone judges you. And if you bomb on that show, you have to kill yourself with a mic stand. You have to impale yourself
you
with a mic stand.
You do have to kill yourself if you bomb.
Yeah, yeah. So the mounting pressure of the idea of bombing on that show was making me fucking
nuts. And I recommended you and I don't recommend people.
I know. So there was a guy, there's a comedian who I saw on the train who I've met maybe a few times, but he's going to remember me now. So I,
and he's so funny.
So funny and cool. Such a funny, cool guy. I saw him on the train and I was like, I won't say hi because
to be clear, you saw him on the train in Astoria.
Yes.
The show is in Williamsburg, right. Brooklyn. Those are two places that are very far from each
different
other on the
boroughs,
train.
Different boroughs.
That's like an hour on the train.
So I get to the show. He's there.
You've seen him on the in Astoria and then you see him at the show.
Yes. And he's sitting next to me and I go, I saw you on the train. And he was like, what?
No, you said, were you on the train? And then you said, I saw you in Astoria.
And then he was like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, there's someone who looks like you. And he was just like very visibly weirded out.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, were you in Astoria? And I was like, yeah. And then I tried to backtrack on how weird it was that I was telling him I saw him in the train. He was wearing a Toronto Blue Jays hat. Mm-hmm. And I'm famously Canadian.
And a lesbian.
And he fucking, I was like,
you're engaged to a man.
This recording's going to be brutal.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
A lot of edits. Cut this, cut everything, Ronnie. And
we haven't talked about anything we plan on talking.
So, okay, so, but I was like, I wanted to try to make it seem like there was a reason why I would have noticed him, not just because I know who he is and he doesn't know who I am. So I went, the Blue Jays, do you like baseball? I'm from Canada also. And he was like, cool.
It's so brutal. God. I had one of those ones where I was nervous and being weird.
Yeah.
And I was doing a big show comedian, famous comedian Nate Bargatze was there.
Yeah.
And so I was like standing, waiting to, oh, I actually wasn't even, whatever, it doesn't matter. I was standing backstage. I wasn't on the show. I was there with a friend. Mm-hmm. And I was looking out at the audience and hitting my vape. Mm-hmm. And then this is what happened. I'm going to hit my vape and you turn around and you introduce me to Nate Bargatze.
Okay.
This is what happened.
All right. Oh, Nate, have you met Lizzie?
Hi, how's it going? Right in his fucking face. Dude, and then I went, sorry, I just accidentally vaped in your face. And Nate Bargatze went, yeah, you did. And then walked away. God.
See, it's worse when you think they're going to rescue you, when like they have empathy for how weird you were and they're going to save you.
I need to drink your water. I just burned my throat doing that.
Great act out.
Thank you. I really committed to that. Committed. And it hurt.
But I think nothing is worse. Have we ever talked about the Michael Blackson incident?
Oh, my God. The Michael Blackson incident is awful.
There is nothing worse than the Michael Blackson incident of 2015. I was at Caroline's on Broadway, rest in peace, and I had a spot before Michael Blackson had like a headlining show. Michael Blackson, black comedian. That would be crazy.
Famous,
if it was a white guy.
Famous black comedian.
Famous black comedian. His fan base, exclusively black.
Yes.
Or white people trying to be posers.
Huge act, though. Michael Blackson is huge.
Michael Blackson is huge. He's great.
He crushes.
He crushes in a way that nobody else does. Anyway.
Incredible.
Get out
comedian.
Of the comedy stuff and talk about how weird you are.
So Michael Blackson is doing a headlining show after me. The Caroline's Green Room is a small room with like a weird bathroom for no reason and a sink in there that makes no sense. So I walked in and Michael Blackson was sitting there with his crew of all cool black people that I had no business hanging out with. And I walked in and stopped like a baby deer because I was like, fuck. I can't just like turn around and walk away. So I was like, I had to find a reason for me to be in here. So my big improv was to walk up to the sink and start drinking out of the faucet.
Which does sound like a joke a black comedian would have about a thing white people do.
No.
You know what I mean? Like it would sound like a black comic would be like, you know, white people drinking out of the faucet.
So you just put your mouth under the faucet in front of this like group of like 10 people?
Yes.
The coolest people. And I'm drinking out of a faucet like a dog with a hose. And they're all just like, what the fuck? Like,
what was the plan there?
No plan. There was obviously no plan.
We were
flying by the seat of our pants.
That's fucking nuts.
And then I also didn't say anything. So I was just like, I'm drinking from the faucet silently. They're all
didn't introduce yourself. No one knows you're a comedian.
They're like this vagrant came here. She really needed water. And then I left. And I like to think that like I'm a fun story in their life. Remember that giant goth who came in and just drank out of the tap and left?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
never said anything like to subtle... them?
I didn't say a single thing.
You never
thing.
Said like, oh, by the way, I'm on the show. I'm Andrew. Nothing.
Nope, not a single thing. Just out of it, just in and out.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
That might be the strangest social interaction that I've ever heard anybody yeah. have.
Yeah. You know what I just realized? It's like arguably alpha.
I'm going to drink your water.
I do kind of like that. I do kind of like that.
Like, whatever. I'm just going to walk in here, do something insane, and then leave. Also, at a comedy club that has like bottles of water oh, available.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, no, yeah, it's there's we're in civilization.
Yeah, we're grown up people in a grown up place. She's gonna drink out of the fucking faucet.
Oh my good god!
In front of a famous comedian.
It's like I get very like Kramer or Larry David.
Yeah,
when
you
I'm
are
very
a Kramer.
Very nervous. I'm a huge Kramer.
Yeah,
that's why you gotta have a crazy person in your life because they'll Kramer it up for you.
Kramer, I hardly know her.
Yeah,
what are we doing a podcast?
We'll be right back.
let's check me into the silly house, the goofy place.
Yeah.
let's do our first segment because it feels right. Are we going to talk about relationships or are we going to talk about crazy people?
It's up to you. Whatever you want to do, buddy.
Relationships first because we've already been talking about crazy
yeah,
people.
Yeah, we'll loop back around. we'll get back to it.
We sandwich the relationships between the crazy people.
You got to diversify.
Dude, sandwiching the relationships between the crazy people is literally what our lives are.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's right. All crazy people and dating.
We have a demo.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this. We always text each other respectfully segments, ideas back and forth. But this one really lit both of our fires.
Yeah.
Which is when someone gets dumped, which I don't know, I would say this is necessarily just women getting dumped.
But no, it's definitely men do this too.
Yeah. When you get dumped by someone, people start to character assassinate the person that dumped them immediately.
Yeah.
And like, you got to do that to protect yourself. And sometimes people are bad people, but like, often it's like, they're a piece of shit and they're a narcissist.
Specifically for breaking up with you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing. Respectfully, someone is not an asshole just because they broke up with you.
Yeah.
And further, someone is not a narcissist just because they broke up with you.
I know.
It's crazy how many people we know who's like, I guess there's just something fundamentally wrong with them because they don't want to be with me. And it's like, I don't know. I think they did the right thing by telling you.
It's hard to break up with people.
It sucks. Breaking up with someone fucking sucks.
You have to like watch yourself kick a puppy.
Yeah, you have to put down Old Yeller.
And you have to be like, you're great, but I would rather be alone than be with you. To say that to someone's face? Aren't you embarrassed?
It sucks.
It's a shitty... And like, I feel like there's all this like pseudo psychology all over the internet that's like, you know, there's like gaslighting is a huge, and like all this stuff does actually exist.
Totally.
And as someone who has been exposed to it in a pretty real way, why do you think my brain's all fucking loop-de-loop? Hearing some like fucking respectfully fucking 23-year-old be like, he's a sociopath.
He's not a sociopath. He just didn't want you to be his girlfriend.
Yes. He wanted to slam different puss.
It's
and
also
that's
like
the fucking world we live in.
And I'm guilty of this, but it's like, oh, this guy like fucked me without a label for 2 months and then didn't ask me to be his girlfriend. What a dick. And it's like, well, he had to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know when he met you that he was never going to ask you to be his girlfriend. Sometimes they do.
Yes.
But sometimes they don't.
But that's the game you play when you're dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like putting your heart on the line.
Wow.
And you can't fucking freak out when people don't want it. Sorry.
Yeah. There's also within our community, there's a lot of sexual predators.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go there.
Which is...
What are we doing right now?
A lot of sexual predators.
Sorry. What are we doing right now?
All right. Here we go. There are a lot of creeps in the comedy community and just in the world.
In the world, yeah.
And so there are valid reasons to call out a creep. I'll call out a creep all day, every day. I love it. We've
do
gone
it all the time.
We've gone to venues and been like, this person is a creep. Stop having them in your place of business.
I've sent a lot of emails.
Yeah, me too. But when your boyfriend is just a fuckboy, when he breaks up with you, you can't say he's
you can't call him a sexual predator. That's crazy.
It's crazy because then everyone goes, oh, yeah, women are calling everyone predators.
Yeah.
And they're lying.
And then when women like us, who are undeniably kooky and crazy,
yeah,
call a guy a predator, everyone thinks we're just being kooky and crazy. Yes. And it's like, no, I mean it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's then, like there was this. I'll say it. Mm-hmm. There was a comic who was accused of sexual assault. Who I, years before, had consensual sex with.
Doesn't that stink?
The worst.
Oh.
So when that came out, a couple of people texted me and they were like, hey, was this, like, did he do this?
Hey, bud, did you get raped? You? Love that
And
text.
I had to swallow my pride and be like, I said yes. But, like, you have to so that, like, people believe women when they're telling the truth. Like, I'm not going to lie because I'm embarrassed that I had sex with this fucking horrible person.
Yeah.
And say that he did something bad to me. He didn't. I believe the women who say he did.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to fucking tell the truth. And if your boyfriend breaks up with you, you can't be like, well, he's a sexual predator now.
Yeah, I know.
He's just an asshole.
He's just an asshole. I also feel like because we have this solidarity with other women, which we absolutely need, and we need to be transparent with each other because it's hard out here when someone be snitching when there's nothing actually
happening. Don't say
happening.
That. Don't
all
say
right,
it like that.
All right.
Someone. That was too much. That was way too much.
Full force mania.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Sorry. When someone is being dishonest.
Women be snitching. It's crazy.
Sorry, scrap the whole interview. No, but it puts everyone in a... It devalues the word.
It does.
That's all I'm saying.
It does devalue the word. And your point is good. But the way you got there was tough.
My delivery is... I dated a whole-ass rapist who raped multiple women in our community, and I didn't know about it, and he didn't rape me. He got me pregnant, so he got one stamp in the bingo card.
Yeah.
But, like, it was... I didn't want to talk about it because, number one, I was, like, processing that I dated a fucking rapist, and then he was raping everybody while dating me and dating a woman living in L.A. He mm-hmm. was doing all of the things, and I was just – it was just so – people were like, are you going to speak out? And I'm like, I don't
– yeah.
I don't have anything to say. And if I say something and it's like, well, we were cool, then I'm harming –
and yeah, now you're that guy.
Now I'm that guy.
Also, like, to be clear, we're not talking about, like, we're not saying that, like, we don't believe women.
No.
I'm talking about women who, like, the things that they're citing when they accuse these guys aren't sexual assault.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like one of the arguments against Me Too has always been like the example where I see it, which is in the comedy community, is Louis. Like, everyone's like, Louis's not Harvey Weinstein. Like, that's yeah. always the, like, this guy, he only jacked off in front of his female writers. It wasn't like he was doing the real bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's so, like, when we get caught up in the minutia of maybe what might just be you were dating a not great guy, then it gives the opening for, like,
for those guys who are like, so nobody's ever done anything wrong? And you're like, wait, what? How did we get here?
Yeah. No, it's yeah. a real fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, but honestly, to completely interject and...
Yeah.
Yeah, mansplain it to us, Mike.
No, I'm not mansplaining.
No, I know. I'm fully kidding.
Yeah.
And I literally... Weren't we just talking about this like an hour ago?
We were.
Like right yeah. before we started recording, we were talking about... Because we were talking about the Aziz thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Because it came out that, like... We started talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson. Mm-hmm. Ronnie had thought she saw something about Neil deGrasse Tyson being like a sexual harasser. But then we did the research on it, and he wasn't like a sexual harasser. He was just like a weird, like he had like a weird sexual thing, but it wasn't.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
So there's levels to this whole thing with Me Too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting for you guys to bring this up because we were talking about we're living in this like this world now where like pre Me Too. And again, not to like justify anything that like Louis might have done or whatever,
yeah.
but pre-Me Too men, the way that like rape or like sexual mm-hmm. harassment was taught to my generation of men in school and stuff like that was like rape was like when you bring a woman into an alley
yeah.
and just like bash her over the head with a bat
yeah.
and then like just like rape her. You yes. know what I mean? And now
the traditional model.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I feel like we're having much more... thoughtful conversations yeah. about like consent and yeah. all these things. But I don't know that there's times where I feel like I don't even know if like women fully understand, like, yeah, well, the rules seem a little like the there are obvious rules, but then there's like this gray area that I feel like we're still trying to figure out how to tackle it the thoughtfully and like the right way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I you know, like, Ronnie, do you think that your younger generation, that they're completely like clear on what these rules are?
I think probably more clear than older generations, yeah. Yeah. But there's still like the gray space is so uncertain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the gray area is that sometimes it's a miscommunication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes like with certain things, I'm not going to say it like cite like the Aziz thing or because I don't know what happened for real of those. But like sometimes it's like somebody, let's say like somebody said they're into rough sex, but then the other person they were talking to was into way rougher sex than they were imagining. Like, that's like a real gray area.
Yeah.
But the problem with the gray area is actual predators love the gray area.
Totally.
Because
totally.
They use that to their advantage.
100%.
You know, like, oh, this girl consented to having sex with me, so I'm going to hit her while we're having sex, even though she didn't consent to that, because that's in the gray area, so I can get away with it. But when we talk about predators, we're talking about guys who know that they're in that area.
Yeah.
And they're like, they thrive in that area.
And that's what's hot. They're very hard to pin down, those pesky little gray area predators.
Yeah.
Because they strike fear. Them being called out strikes fear in the hearts of men who are maybe trying to do the right thing, but have done things in the past that they maybe are like, ooh, that wasn't great.
Or men who haven't even done things in the past that weren't great, but they were like, I've had rough sex.
Yeah.
What if, and I didn't say like, do you want me to hit you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
this was part of the conversation that we were having, where it's like, I constantly think about like the last 10 years of my life or whatever. And I'm like, I can't remember every sexual interaction I had in my 20s. And I never thought about it until no, but I'm just saying, like,
Party Rock. No, I agree.
But that's the point where, like, I get nervous every now and then.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like, I'll have like a moment where I like reflect on things, and I'm like, did I do something wrong? Did I not? And I keep coming back to, no, I think it's probably everything is fine.
Yeah.
But like, it's still this thing where it's like, maybe that's the whole point, that there are people that just like aren't thinking about
it. That's what I was gonna say. I think like the general rule for all of this is like, if you're wondering about it, at least going forward, you're probably fine.
Yeah, right.
If you're either not thinking about it at all or thinking that you got away with it, those are the people you got to look out for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's also the inverse of it. Like, as a woman, you're like, was that wrong?
Yeah.
Like, you yourself are trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing.
Andrea and I have a thing where we refer...
Women are like, after the fact, they're like, did I enjoy that? And we're just like, what do you mean?
And the answer is always no, Mike. Also, you know that.
Also, every woman
I enjoy a sexual interaction with a man? Probably not.
Probably not. But it was like, was this regular not enjoying it or big time not enjoying it?
Right.
There's like... First of all, most of the women I know who have been sexually assaulted, someone else had to tell them they were.
Yeah.
Like, they just told someone a story, and then someone was like, one time I was on stage telling a story and a woman in the audience said, that's sexual assault.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her and I was like, you think this is the best way to tell me that? Yeah. Like, you think this is good?
Yeah, it's very gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this weird thing where we've like turned it on women and we're like, oh, you got God. And it's like, okay, be nice about it.
Stupid bitch.
But like, but you're right. Like, Andrea and I have talked about this before where like we've both had moments that definitely qualify as sexual assault where you're like, the phrasing is like, well, that doesn't even make the board.
Yeah.
You know,
it's too,
what am I going to talk about this in therapy? I'm busy.
There's not enough space for it. Both our dads are dead. We need other.
Both our dads are dead. Both of us have been sexually assaulted plenty.
Multiple
okay.
Times.
I don't need to start racking up numbers, okay?
Yeah, right.
Just have a buzzer.
Oh, it happened again.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I think an important thing to talk about too is drugs and booze when we're talking about fucking.
Yeah.
And again, we're both sober, but when I was really out there living,
same.
That's when a lot of these things would happen because I really could not consent and was not of sound mind. And this is not just me, also the men that I'm with too. Sometimes we're fucking blasted.
Mm-hmm.
And one dude, I remember I was staying at his place and I like halfway through, it was one of those things where his bedroom was really sad. You ever get to someone's apartment
and you're always in a sad bedroom.
Oh. Yeah, I lived in one of those.
Oh, I know.
No, but I don't think yours is as sad as we're talking about. Like,
no, not now. Yeah. Now it's glorious.
Oh, you said lived. Yeah, okay. Because like the one I'm picturing, like I remember I went to a guy's house and he had a paper plate ashtray. Full like this high,
yeah,
like this high of blunt guts and like cigarette butts, and I was like, and then he moved it off the mattress on the floor for me to sit on it, and I was like, oh no,
yeah, the hoarder energy, your pussy's dry as the fucking desert when you're like, oh, you're like a broken person who's like not doing well. There's posters on the wall that are like stuck on with tape and they're like 40 and you're like, fuck, I'm scared.
Yeah, it's scary.
Your life scares me. So like I was turned off by this guy's horrible life, so I couldn't get it wet to save my life. And he was just like, I was like, can I just sleep on your couch? And he was like, well, you have to like at least give me a hand job. And I'm like, God.
You have to.
Damn it. But back then, this guy was a bigger deal in the comedy community than me. And I was like, I don't want to have a nuanced conversation with this fucking idiot about the weird forced hand job that I had to
give. I'd rather give a hand job than talk to this guy about consent for an hour.
And he doesn't care and won't give a shit. That's another thing. It's like, why am I having to do TED Talks constantly with every fucking idiot in my life? I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll just... And to the point of the people who call people predators... Sometimes I'll just be like, this guy's a piece of shit. I think calling someone a piece of shit is a good blanket to use, you know?
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Because men know other men who are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Also, you know? Let's bring back the word pervert.
Or pervert.
A guy can be a pervert and not a predator.
You're so right, Lizzie. That's such a perfect like in between where it's just like, this guy's a little
Because here's the thing. There's some people who want to be with a pervert.
Yes.
You know, like if you want to fuck a pervert, I know a pervert.
I know so many perverts.
This lady who's talking about him didn't want to fuck a pervert.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
She got caught in the perv zone.
Yeah.
Do you know, Mike, when dudes around you are perverts?
Define pervert.
I would say like a guy who is overly like all he thinks about is sex.
Yeah.
And probably doesn't see women as whole people because he sees them as sex objects. And or... has like a freaky sex thing that most people probably aren't into, but it's like his thing.
Well, as you know, I'm not for kink shaming, but
I am.
I'm just trying to think if I know anybody in my life specifically. There are always those times when you interact with guys like that.
Yeah.
And they're just like talking about pussy.
Yeah. That's what it is. Kinda it's like, pussy.
You're kind of like,
and you're like, relax.
Like a guy who calls like yeah, there's some good snatch around here.
Oh,
your skin crawls, you know. Yeah. Even as a guy. Like, I mean, I've been lucky enough that I think most of my like close friends in my life, when we talk about women, even as crass as it can get at times, it seems like there's a level of like respectability.
Yeah, for sure.
But then there's times where you like even I've had people that have like left this. I had somebody come in here. I won't name the person, but
Will you tell us after?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ooh.
This was a person that was came in. We had a meeting in this room, and then I was like walking down the street with him. And there were formerly these two secretaries upstairs in the I don't know what the word is, like office
receptionist,
whatever. Yeah. Both were very nice. They're both no longer with this place.
This guy killed them.
They're both attractive. One was like a Afro-Latina young girl, woman, whatever. And the other one was like a young blonde woman. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like walking out, talking with him, and he said something where he was just like, he's like, man, you have like sluts working in the front.
Dude,
and
sluts.
I was just like, that's the end of this business. Like,
God, this girl is just pretty, so now you get to call her a slut. Well, that's just sucks.
Like they're just at work. Like they're not like, and I've never really liked that word to begin with, but it's just this like, it. I guess in the world, in like guy world, that's something that guys like respond to, and they're
It feels like a dog whistle to be like, "Do you want to talk about sluts with me?"
Maybe. Yeah. It's just always it always makes me feel weird. I'm always just like,
I feel like there's a difference between a guy who's telling you a story about a time he quote had sex, and a guy who's telling you about a time he quote got pussy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think you're right.
Got pussy guys are guys who are, I'm like, you don't see women as people.
No.
But even with like my guy friends, I still never really liked, like the close, the guys that I've been close to for the last probably decade or so, people, guys that I lived with or whatever, like the same sort of crew. Even though we knew we were all kind of, when we all lived together, we were all like single and like hooking up or whatever. There were always like girls in the apartment or whatever. But like,
I'm not
trying to say it like that. I'm just saying like if somebody had a girl over and you were fucking, like a lot of the times you just knew because you heard it met the girl.
When you have roommates, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And these were like my close friends. And even still, it never really felt like we had any like gross conversations about women.
Yeah, you're
they
not
all
like,
felt pretty like, even when we talked about like, oh yeah, I hooked up with this person, it was never detailed. Like, yeah, she threw her leg up and then I sucked my fucking, like that always, like, I think I've always fit better with guys that like don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? But I know there's, I think it's more common than not that like men feel like they have to talk to each other about that like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, it is a very nuanced thing because I'm now like thinking about if I'm the woman, and I was going to say like, yeah, it's not like you're like high-fiving each other after she leaves. But then I was like, I do kind of want them to high-five each other after I leave.
There's
you know what I mean? But it's like, I only want that you to do that if I know you're a good person.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I don't want, if you're like some guy who used me as a whole, I don't want you to be high-fiving your friends. But if you're a guy who's like, I finally got with my crush, then I want you to be.
You want someone that's like cusp got pussy guy.
Yeah.
But his rising sign is normal, nice, well adapted.
You don't want to date a virgin and you don't want to date a pervert.
I know. We're
but
Madonna.
There really is such a middle ground.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're Madonna whoring men.
We're Madonna whoring men.
Oh, we should make this a thing. They've done it to us for so long.
I know. We should Madonna whore men.
The virgin pervert complex.
Yes.
Wow. This is big. This is big for feminism.
It is big.
This is going to be big. Okay.
No, but it makes sense. Like you want a guy that can like fix a sink.
Yes.
But you also want a guy that's not like a, you know,
no, but
serial rapist.
This is what it is for me. It's like, if a guy is too nice before we have sex, in my head, he's a virgin.
Yeah.
He's not going to be good at sex. He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to have to teach him everything.
Yeah.
And then after we have sex, if he's good at it, he's a pervert. And I also don't like that about him.
I know.
And that's exactly the Madonna whore complex.
It is. It is.
Wow.
We all want what we can't have.
Wow. We're virgin pervert. I love this.
PCs, baby.
I love that we've found a way to turn it on them.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is what men talk about when they are talking about women don't like nice guys. I think this is what they're talking about. It's like, and those people are incels, and it goes without saying, like, you know, the example I'm using. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the guy who's like,
a little worm.
Sensitive and
like a little worm guy.
Little wormy.
Yeah.
And
oh, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Me.
And we can smell it on them, and we're like, I'm not letting this little worm get in my worm holes.
But sometimes that little worm fucks.
Sometimes that little worm fucks.
And then you're like, ew. Like the other way. You're like, ew, you pervert. Gross.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about the next thing that we wanted to talk about, which was big dick face.
Yeah. Do you want to
take a break
and come back and talk about big dick face?
Let's take a break. We're like exploring society's nuances.
Yeah.
I'm having a manic episode. Are we even recording a podcast right now?
No, we're just doing this for you.
Okay. Thanks, buddies. On that note, let's take a break
and we'll see you when we get back.
Don't want no big dick face. Don't want no dick.
No, I do want big dick face.
Only if it's being backed up by the goods.
Big dick dick.
Big dick dick.
Yeah.
Baby arms.
Yeah.
Shout
don't want a short dick man.
What a great song.
Actually, I'm fine with a short dick man as long as you're not a fucking asshole about it, but we've talked about this before.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are talking before. There's a friend in the comedy community who...
You can tell by his face he has a big dick.
Yes.
And you were going to like explain it nicely. Like,
he seems to have... and what is your perception of big dick face?
I'll tell you.
I think...
Big dick face... Long nose.
Yep.
Big ears.
Long nose.
Yep.
Sunken in eyes. That guy's going to have a fucking piece on him, dude.
The dick.
Look at famously big dicked Pete Davidson.
Yep.
Big ears, big nose, sunken in eyes.
Yeah. Ghoul.
Yeah.
Anytime someone looks like a ghoul, the dick has sucked the life force out of their face.
You know people who look like a sleep paralysis monster?
Yes.
Those people have huge hogs.
Yes. What's the fucking internet lore? It was like, it's skinny man.
I know. Slenderman.
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 Dude,
yeah.
Slenderman, his dick goes down to his knees for sure.
Slenderman has another Slenderman attached to him on the front.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it is like tall, skinny guys. Everyone knows that's a pretty.
But there are guys who aren't tall, skinny who have big dick face.
Yes. They just have to look like they got out of detox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But specifically, I think the big nose and big ears like correlates.
Yeah. It's like they got, what is the thing that bitches are doing now?
They got their buccal fat removed. Yes. Yeah. Guys with like cute little cherubby faces, you're like, you might have a strong medium.
Yeah.
But guys,
at best.
But guys who have the like, this going on.
Yeah. At the cheekbones.
See, if we were men, you'd have big dick face and I wouldn't.
Really? That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah. Well,
don't feed into my megalomania right now.
I don't know if it's nice necessarily.
Andrea, your man form would have a big hog.
Well, I'm saying your face would have a big hog.
You don't think I could back it up?
I don't know.
Wow.
I think probably, yeah, but I want to say no because you seem like, okay, right now, today, you seem like a guy who'd be like too loud about having a big dick and that would annoy me.
Oh, 100%. I would be outrageous.
I love a man who walks softly and carries a big stick. You know what I mean? Like doesn't talk about the fact that he has a huge cock, but is just carrying it around.
Well, that's another thing though. Big dick face, the big dick energy is often quiet because they're like, I don't need to do fanfare.
Yeah.
I know what I got behind the
curtain. I think big dick energy is fake and big dick face is real.
Yeah, I agree.
Big dick energy is nothing.
But do you not think there is something to people who are less trying to put on a show?
I think big dick energy is just confidence.
Yes.
And having a big dick makes you confident.
Yes.
So sometimes, or can make you confident. So sometimes it correlates. But I don't think that it's as like cut and dry as people think it is. I think we just see a guy who's confident and funny and we're like, I bet he has a big dick. So then when he pulls out his like strong medium dick, you're like, I was right.
Because
you have a crush on him.
Yeah.
A big dick energy guy is just a guy you have a crush on. But a big dick face guy, you don't even have to like him.
Yeah.
But that guy's got a big dick.
Yes, he does.
You know what I mean?
I once had a conversation with a guy who had a big dick and he was like, I was like, is that awesome? And he was like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for being honest with me.
Yeah, it's got to be awesome.
It's awesome.
You know, I want to give an example for the people at home. You know who has the picture of big dick face to me?
Who?
Adam Driver.
Yes.
He has big dick face. Yeah.
Anytime they look horsey.
Yes.
Yeah.
It almost looks like there's like dicks on your face.
Your face is
made of dicks.
A paper mache of different dicks. Yeah. And I wonder if like fathers and sons, but like I wonder if big dick face is passed down. Of course it is.
Of course it is.
So you've just got a family of big dick face people.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of very happy moms.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them.
My boyfriend does not have big dick face. He has kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
He has like cute, nice guy face.
Yes, you know? He does.
And so I was like, I didn't think about it like this. I wasn't like, oh, well, he's probably going to have a small dick. I just like, you see a guy with big dick face and you think about his dick. You see a guy without big dick face
cherub
and you don't
face.
Think about his dick.
He's got a face that's filled with youth.
Yes. But you know what I mean? Like if a guy has big dick face, you're like, oh, that guy has a big dick. But if a guy doesn't, you don't think the guy has a small dick. It just doesn't pop into your head.
Yeah.
So that's where I was at. Turns out, huge hog. Literally, like, ruined my hypothesis about big dick face.
There are outliers.
Tiny nose, tiny ears. Big old fucking
Congratulations, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you. I worry he's going to turn me into a size queen.
I'm a size queen.
I've never cared before, and now I'm like, it is better.
It hits
it
different.
Is It
Sorry.
Hits everything.
It hits all the walls.
Yeah.
It's a fucking pinball
pew,
machine.
Pew, 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 pew.
It's up in the cervix.
Yeah.
It's going. It's in the fallopian tubes. It's coming up your nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's like coming out of your mouth.
Yes. I need need a halt.
Yeah. I will say the one thing that sucks about being in a relationship with a guy with a big dick, which is a crazy sentence.
Yes.
It sounds like I'm one of those people that's like, actually having a trust fund is kind of annoying.
Oh. Or like, actually, if you're a hot person, people don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
Shut up. Fuck up.
But I will say the one thing that's annoying is like, you're committed to giving big dick blowjobs for a while.
Oh my goodness.
And big dick blowjobs are a nightmare.
You're going to need to get a wire for your jaw.
I know.
One of the big dick guys that I used to hook up with also was hot.
Yeah, nightmare.
And I was like, you have never learned a lesson in your fucking life.
Nobody's ever said no to you.
No one said no to you. And he also was like, I'm depressed. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You are tall, big dick, handsome guy.
Yeah.
Although his wife did cheat on him, which I was kind of like, go off, queen. Like, I was that's cool. Objectively bad, but also girl boss.
Yeah. Cheating on a guy with a big dick is girl boss behavior.
Yes, it is. I don't even care. I already got it.
Yeah, good for her.
I'm going to pull Mike in.
Yeah, me too. I want to know.
Mike, do other men sense big dickness from each other? Do you guys do like sonar
with your eyes? Are you guys like sniffing each other's butts? Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to ever really get confirmation.
Yeah.
Unless there, and I think that's the one difference between like the radar for men and the radar for women.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, I think women have more data.
Yeah.
Well, you're more likely, you know, if you're a single woman and you're into a guy that has big dick energy and then you guys sleep together, you can kind of confirm or deny.
Right. That's what I mean by data. Yeah.
We're
running experiments.
Yeah.
Where like I can take a guess,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like my guesses would be correct.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really, I'll never know.
But then you can just ask your slut friends.
Right.
A word I don't like, but
I know that's why I used it.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that there's like, to me, it's usually pretty clear that there's like I don't there. Usually, there's a cool that comes with guys.
It is
that
a coolness,
have it.
Yeah.
And it's just like the guys that seem like they don't have a ton to prove, at least when they're in like social situations.
Yeah. But have you ever noticed the face?
I mean, it's funny that you say that.
I know.
I would
I'm
have
thinking
never
of
thought
one of
that
your friends.
What a does it begin with an M?
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes.
And allegedly, I mean, I know the condoms that he uses, and they're quite large.
They also begin with an M.
Yes, they also begin with an M. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, but
the
it is.
The minute
it's
I
like,
met that guy, I was like, hog.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. And so I think that there's like that type of vibe to guys that have it. And I don't know. I think that like, I kind of think that men should also be like drawn to other men that way. In friendship, too.
Wait, you think big dick guys should all hang out with each other?
I kind of think most of my friends are big dick guys.
And you're a big dick guy?
I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Hey. Yeah, I got what you were implying,
Mike. Mike's a big dick guy. Ronnie's a lesbian. Mike's a big dick guy.
Andrew's manic.
I'm manic.
What am I?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm nothing.
The one holding all of this together.
The glue.
Yeah. I'm a word Mike doesn't like.
Yeah. We don't say it in front of you, but you're a hole. Yeah. I mean, I guess that is. I wonder if there's like a magnetism between big dick guys.
Magnetism?
Yay.
Magnetism.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like when hot girls all hang out with each other because they have the same lived experience.
Well, I do think there's something to that. Because not to throw it out there too much, but I kind of think I'm a big dick guy. And I think that I am kind of irked by guys that don't have that kind of energy.
Sure.
In terms of like being able to actually be close to that person.
You know what I will say?
Like, calm
I love.
Down.
You know what I'll say? Yeah. You know what I'll say? I love a guy with a medium or small dick who just for whatever reason has that energy.
Yes.
Oh, that's
I'm
fine
like,
too.
Oh, you're like a full whole. Like you're like a fixed person.
You're a self-actualized. Yeah.
You know
person.
What I mean? Like that's like when you meet someone who's like crazy traumatized but okay because they did all the work.
Yeah.
That's like the same thing. I'm like, oh. Look at you.
Inspirational.
You did it, huh?
That's like I used to date a friend of the pod, John F. O'Donnell.
Yeah.
The shortest man in the comedy
community.
I didn't
know you guys dated.
I mean, we used to.
Yeah,
that's quite a height mismatch.
He's a foot shorter than
I got a foot of big dick on him. Maybe not date, but we used to fuck around and we were friends. And we've been friends for a long time. It was a fun little tryst of two bipolar people getting crazy with each other. But he used to walk around holding my hand. He is 5'4"?
Yeah.
He's 5'4". I'm 5'11". And I was like a glamazon in heels. And he looked like a chihuahua that was on my leash.
Yeah.
And he was just confident.
Yeah.
He didn't feel a single way about it. And I was like, that's cool as fuck.
Yeah. I dated a guy who was shorter than me. And I asked him if it bothered him. And he said, no, every time we walk into a room together, I feel like I'm like, look what I got.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool.
It is
confidence
cool.
is key, but you can't fake it.
That's you can't. Everybody can everybody can smell it on you when you're faking it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was
weird. Is there a girl equivalent to this? Or a person with vagina equivalent? Sorry.
To like a fake.
Yeah.
To like big dick energy. Like
good puss energy.
Yeah, I guess it's good pussy. Because it doesn't matter what it.
It's someone who knows how to fuck.
Yeah, it's someone who knows how to fuck.
Yeah, and that's you don't your body doesn't have to look any specific way.
Well,
to...
I don't know that that's right.
What do you think?
Well, because I think that like when you, are women intimidated by big dick energy?
No, we love it.
So I think that like
maybe some.
I think the type of woman that you're talking about,
but sometimes when they're too confident, where I'm like, you've never had to. Earn anything in your life.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah. But like there are certain women that I can think of that I think fit the bill of what you're talking about. And they intimidate me in a way. And I'm sure other men too.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
So I don't think that it's the same equivalent. But I think that like I think that energy that you're talking about is like I think a lot of women and a lot of men, a lot of people in general, I think, have like fabricated personalities.
Yeah, sure.
They're like archetypes.
Ooh, the mask
of,
you wear.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
So there's like archetypes of people, and there's archetypes of men and women. There's like the Rogan guy. There's the sports guy.
Sure.
There's the, and then the people that are really the coolest are the people that can do a little bit of everything.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And they cultivate their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with women, it's the same thing. Like the big dick energy for it's gonna sound so sexist and awful, but like the big dick energy for women are like women with authentic personalities that have like that are truly
God, that sucks. Women who can be themselves.
Yes.
It's a turn off.
No, it's a turn on.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Big dick energy is like when you're just like, wow, that person. She's
a
not
self-actualized
like,
woman.
Yeah, she's not pretending to be anything that she's not. Because that's really what big dick energy is, right?
Yeah.
This person is 100% them.
Yeah.
They walk into the room, they're confident, and they can talk to anybody, and they're just fine. And then,
I would argue that that is good pussy energy, because if you're somebody who's confident enough to be yourself all the time, you're going to be good at sex. You might not be good, you might not be doing the things that the person you're having sex with that time wants you to do, but the being good at sex is just like committing to the
and like listening to what people say
and being like open and honest.
Yeah.
Like being somebody who's able to be themselves fully is gonna be good at being themselves while they're having sex.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
sure.
Most of the bad sex I've had is with a guy who becomes someone else when it's sex time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
sure.
These guys are like, all of a sudden their voice is like this. And you're like, what are you doing, dude? This
I'm
sucks.
Batman.
How you doing?
Take your pants like, off.
How you doing?
Hey, Ronnie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is there big dick energy amongst the lesbian community?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
For sure.
And thank God Ronnie is a lesbian.
Thank God. We got Ronnie in her in the clutch.
Yeah, there is. I think it's, but it's kind of annoying is the thing.
Okay.
Are you talking about like the fuckboy lesbians?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, what is it called?
Hey Mama's
the
lesbians.
Hey Mama's, the Hey Mama's lesbian. Like that.
I'm
is
friends with a lot of lesbians.
What's a Hey Mama lesbian?
Like
you a
fuckboy.
Hey Mama lesbian is?
No.
A Hey Mama lesbian. Sorry, I don't want to explain your culture over here.
Please.
A Hey Mama's lesbian is like the fuckboy equivalent in the lesbian world. So she's like wearing a backwards hat and like,
I see.
You know, like making TikToks where like her fingers are in the front of her.
Yeah, exactly.
And like fucking women and not calling them back.
I see.
You know,
okay,
like that
it,
kind
it,
of
it,
thing.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And it's, there is an energy.
So
there's
why
like
are
a distinct
they called Hey Mama
energy.
Lesbians?
Because they DM women and say, hey, mamas. And then ask them to fuck.
Yeah. And then they never speak to you again.
Yeah.
Wow. See, this is the problem. I always assume women take the moral high ground because I respect women more than men innately.
Yeah.
And then when a les is doing boy things, I'm like, you were going to rise above.
I love it, kind of. I'm like, yeah, we can do anything boys can do. You know? Like, we can also use women.
There was actually a friend of mine was married to a, like in the beginning of their marriage, this person was identifying as a woman, but a lesbian, and was a very hey mama, like butch, jacked. And then during the period of their marriage, the hey mama lesbian, my God, transitioned into a dude. And was started cheating on her. Was cheating on her as the butch les, but the cheating ramped up when the
Trans men are men.
I know, and that was the best example ever of like, oh, you are deeply a man. Yeah. The way you're being a fucking scumbag.
Yeah, totally.
It was horrible. And then we all were like, I respect your pronouns, but you are a piece of shit and get out of my friend's house.
You are a bad man.
Yes.
A bad man.
A very bad man. A very bad he, him.
A very bad husband.
Yes. Yeah. Do you give into the tomfoolery of the...
Have you gotten got by a hey mama's lesbian?
Yes, the mysticism.
I haven't.
Good what? For you. Yeah. Wow. That's really great.
I'm not real. I don't know that a hey mama's lesbian is really like my type.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So I've avoided.
That'll help.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's also like femme lesbians who are doing the same thing in a different font.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
like
yeah.
They're being like, I don't know, whatever.
Kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kooky manic pixie dream girls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may have been a bit of a manic pixie dream girl in my 20s.
Oh, I fell for them all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you love them. God. Yeah. The way Mike's gotten got by girls with armpit hair, the fucking damage control I've have to do.
I know.
After Mike's get fucking Ponzi schemed by one of them. You can never catch him, Mike.
My mid-20s was all about just, you know, manic pixie. Well, why can't we be together? Just because I'm manic and pixie and crazy.
You know what's funny is when you can tell that a guy is manic pixie dream girling you. Like,
ugh.
You are just like a regular girl, but you are a stand-up comedian with bangs.
Yes.
So he's like, God, like, I love how you're never going to want a real relationship for me. And you're like, I never fucking said that. I just like, I look like.
I like the aesthetic.
Oh, I have a nose ring.
Yeah.
Do you know, I had no idea what a manic pixie dream girl was until I was like, I was out on a date with one, like 24, 25, and the girl was explaining to me that she was a manic. She's like, I'm a manic pixie dream girl.
So that's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh. You're just like, they're just being like, I'm a piece of shit, but I'm hot. Deal with it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it.
There's this like months of just like, what is actually happening here?
Also,
are
like,
we going out again or not or what? Like,
to have the balls to call yourself anything with the word dream girl in it.
I know, yeah.
Is crazy.
It was a very bizarre thing.
It's wild.
But that is very manic pixie dream girl to self-identify.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely had the tendencies, but I did not. I thought I was a piece of shit the whole time, you know, but I was just a mess.
Me too.
And I had the black bob. So I fell into the bucket. But then I look back and I'm like, you were a fucking piece. And you were just allowing people to walk. I could have been such a cunt. And I absolutely was not.
Yeah, I was just like 19 living in New York with bangs and fishnets on. Yeah. So every guy was like, I've always dreamed of you. And I was like, what's up? What are we doing? I've been drunk for 4 years.
So, Ronnie, do you fall for a manic pixie dream girl? Is Ronnie a manic pixie dream girl?
Oh, God, I hope not.
No, Ronnie is definitely not a manic pixie dream
girl. No, Ronnie is Chessie from The Parent Trap.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And no, I do. I do.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I do.
Yeah, they're tiny font girls also now. The new Manic Pixie Dream Girl is tiny font Bushwick girl, which, by the way, is a lot of our listeners, and God
and
bless
we love
you. And we love you.
And we love you.
And maybe a little introspection, though.
But we're not going to fuck you, but we love you.
I might. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Come over.
Come on over.
Get in here. We love you.
We love you. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll end this bitch out. Back to the crazy. We're going to talk about therapy.
Bonnie is a pescatarian. Yeah, it didn't really work, but I liked it.
Not at
Bonnie.
All.
Welcome.
Oh my God. Fish only.
Yeah,
that's
what I was going to say.
Hey.
Pescatarian is a fun way to say lesbian.
That's one I've never heard. I do appreciate
it. Can you start? Can you bring that into the lesbian community for us?
I'm
going to
bring that into the Bushwick community.
Because you're like, you can't be like, pescatarian can only be full lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't be bisexual and be a pescatarian. No. You're an omnivore.
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah. Nobody's ever brought that up before.
I know.
Yeah.
Pescatarian.
That's our gift to, our gift to the lesbian
community. So far, we have the virgin pervert complex.
Beautiful.
Love. Mm-hmm. And now we have pescatarian. Perfect.
We are really, listen, when we have very little energy, we go full blast.
We go full blast.
We're shooting on empty right now.
Yeah.
And we are making astute observations.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you said to me earlier.
All right. So I famously don't sleep ever.
Same.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we're such good friends.
Yeah. I will do the sleep deprivation for a few days and then I'll go down like a bear and I'll be out for like 18 hours. You just live off of like 2 or 3 hours.
I never get the 18 hour day.
Dude, that's great. Yeah. I feel yours is worse than mine, but
is worse than everyone's.
We connect on the no sleep frequency, which is kind of like a, if you know, you know, type thing.
Yeah. If you're a no sleep guy, that is like the big dick thing. No sleep guys. We like see each other.
We do. We're all twitchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like at a diner at 4 a.m.
Yes. And you're like, well, I might as well be here because it's either this or I'm going to be sitting in my bed just fucking staring, which is what I try to do. So like my fiance, who's a man, apology to the lesbian community.
this is Manic Episode Andrea. They don't necessarily want you.
They are so upset that I've been taken out of the game.
Yeah, you're like wearing that hat and those glasses and you're like, I'm so sorry that I'm marrying a man.
You're lost, ladies. They're like, you're a nightmare.
You're a manic pixie dream girl right now.
You're a bisexual fucking zero and we're so glad to get you out of the mix. My boyfriend sleeps immediately. He's one of these pieces of shit that like falls asleep.
Boys.
Oh my God.
Generally, I have a theory on this.
All right.
When you fuck a guy and you're at his house and he falls asleep immediately and you're just laying there awake.
Yeah.
I think it's because they come. Like when you go home with a guy for the first time, largely they come and you don't.
Yeah.
So then he's knocked out like a bear because he's just got all the evil out of him.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there like,
just humping a leg and thinking about that time you told a comedian that you saw him on the train.
Yeah.
Yeah. It creates so much more anxiety when you're trying to sleep next to a person who just sleeps immediately because you're like,
and then every time you move, you feel like you're going to wake them up.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And so I just like, I'll try to sleep on the couch sometimes because I'm like, I don't want to lay there in silence. Also, one of the things for people who don't sleep is the more you try to sleep,
the worse it gets.
The less it happens. So you'd be like, I'm going to watch a movie. It's such a crazy to be like, I'm coloring. I bake a pie at 3 a.m. Like, I'm off my fucking board.
I was house sitting at your house.
Yeah.
And I so couldn't sleep that at 5 o'clock in the morning, I made homemade pesto in your kitchen.
I mean,
isn't that insane?
We love that for you. That's what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
You just are like, I live in this hell. Yeah. I might as well do stuff. My eyes are going to hurt. I'm going to be all loopy.
Yeah, I'm going to be weirdly nauseous for some reason.
Oh, the nausea.
Yeah.
We are popping Pepto like it's fucking nothing.
So anyway, I
don't sleep and I have health anxiety.
You have anxiety.
Sure. I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And Lizzie's been telling me that I should get on anxiety meds for probably the entirety of our
friendship.
And I don't know.
And today you came in hot and saw me at Starbucks and said, I think I need to get on anxiety meds. Like you thought of it.
I know.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. I've told you this a million times.
I don't want to be a multiple pill guy.
You are a multiple pill guy.
I know.
Also, it's 2023 and we live in New York City. If you're not a multiple pill guy, you're just not going to the doctor enough.
Yeah.
Everybody's a fucking multiple pill guy.
I know.
It's fine.
Get
a cute little thing. Put them in there. Take them every day.
And I don't know why everyone in my family's nuts. And I like somehow have this weird pride in that I'm the one who like keeps it together, which is insane. If I'm the guy holding the fucking,
you're literally bipolar.
Yeah, I know. Quite literally. So I'm like, I don't need help. Yeah. I don't need this. I've already gotten by with a bipolar diagnosis. I've already, you know.
Right.
I live a full life. I'm a working creative. I have good relationships. Like, as corny as this is, like, I'm proud of myself.
You should be.
For, you know, not being in the gutter.
But the thing is, it just doesn't have to be this hard.
I know. I know. And I resisted getting, I genuinely didn't know I had bipolar disorder, which is insane until I got diagnosed. But, like, I've known about the obsessiveness. I've known about the anxiety.
Yeah.
And since my dad died, it's been the intrusive thoughts about that type of stuff.
Oh, brother, I know.
Is such a worse beast to slay. Yeah. Like, I was like, I've seen horrible stuff. Throw it in the pile of horrible stuff. And I'm like, this is different horrible stuff.
Yeah. But this, like, this brings us to a thing we talk about all the time, which is, like, people who just won't go to therapy.
The therapy spectrum.
The therapy spectrum.
Yes. And I respectfully, as someone, and this is another fucking, which is why I'm a piece of shit for not going on anxiety meds, because I have been loudly screaming at everyone I love to go to fucking therapy.
Respectfully, the other side of this therapy spectrum is people who think that someone going to therapy is going to fix everything.
Yes.
Like, you know, these like people who are in bad relationships.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, if my partner would just go to therapy, then everything would be okay. Your partner has very much is capable of lying to a therapist.
Yes.
Like, going to therapy doesn't necessarily fix people or make them better people. Sometimes it just validates their bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they become smarter and stronger and are able to gaslight you in new and creative ways.
They're Jonah Hilling their way
into
the most horrible possible outcome. I mean, there's also like there are people who overdose on therapy who I also hate, who bring up their trauma constantly.
Yeah.
And often the people who bring up their trauma constantly haven't really gone through anything that difficult.
Yes.
And they're like, I'm just feeling very unsafe. I'm like, one person was mean to you once.
Yeah.
You're solidly middle class. You've never gone through anything in your fucking life.
Yeah.
And I have to hold space for you. And I'm going to lose my
mind. The problem. They have therapists that are validating every fucking feeling they have.
Yes.
So then they expect you to validate every feeling they have. And they're like, and you're like, no, actually, that person was mean to you because you're annoying and hard to be around.
Yes. You can't make everything your personal journey.
Yeah.
There has to be time to calm down.
Yeah. You have to hit the middle of the therapy spectrum.
Yes, you do.
You can't refuse to go. But you also can't think it's going to fix everybody all the time.
Do you know what I hate from the refuse to go people? I'm
too smart.
Too smart.
Oh, I'll kill you.
I will fucking strangle you.
What does that even fucking mean? Do you know what I like?
You ask them to walk it back logically and they can't.
They can't.
And I'm like, yeah. Because what you just said was dumb. You're so fucking smart, even though you just made the dumbest argument of all time.
It's the dumbest thing you can say.
It's also innately condescending to be like, well, you can get tricked by one of these snake charmers, woo-woo, dumb-dumb.
But it won't work on me.
On my brilliant mind. They can't even unpack the Rubik's Cube that's my complexity. No, you have basic issues.
Yeah. And you're not a fucking Rubik's Cube. You're a guy who can't figure out intimacy.
Yes.
You think they've never fucking seen that before? That's what pays their bills, idiot.
Yes, dude. You're a guy with
I'm too smart for therapy. I'll kill you. It's not, honestly, it's like, if you tell me you're too smart for therapy, I'm like, oh, you're too dumb for therapy.
Yes.
Like, therapy isn't going to work on you because you're too dumb to listen to a therapist.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, you lack the emotional intelligence.
Yes.
To benefit from therapy.
And you've been walking around all the time with people silently emotionally laboring you. Like, a fucking, just a parade of mostly, this is a man-woman thing often, or maybe a big dick les or something like that, a male energy person and a female energy. Stereotypically, the female energy person is just taking the blows of the male energy person's problems.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't even understand. People are silently taking fucking emotional hits from you all the time because you can't deal with your shit.
Yeah. It's also like, it's so annoying when someone describes themselves as smart and it's like, you don't even know what's going on in this conversation.
Yes, yes.
You think you're smart and you don't even know that I'm like having a hard time.
There's a silent undercurrent happening at all times. There's magic
that you're not
happening
even
around.
Tuned into.
No, no. You're not even tuned into Mother Earth, you piece of shit.
You piece of shit. I talk to the moon.
Yeah.
I'm kooky.
And she's pissed.
My body speaks to the moon. And she doesn't like you. She thinks I should dump you.
My body speaks to the moon, too.
Dude, yeah. I mean, I was kidding, but your body speaks to the moon.
I'm like one of those tuning, you know, those like tuning rods that that crazy people do to like get vibrations. I feel like there's one of those inside my body.
Oh no.
I gotta get on more meds.
Yeah, we gotta tamp that down for sure.
Well, so the meds that I take, which is a lower dose because I have bipolar 2/3. I don't have one where you think that you're like legitimately like Ali Selassie. I just have like, I think I'm an incredible guy once every few weeks. But the meds that I take, Lamictal, fix the depression, but I found out they don't fix the hypomania. And here's another thing too. I have a lot of trouble distinguishing because often bipolar people can't sleep and they say it's called fleets of thoughts, mm-hmm. where like I have so many thoughts coming. That's a different feeling than the anxiety. They're so similar.
Because that also is what anxiety is like.
Yes.
It's so, like you're like on this thought spiral that you can't get off of.
And I wonder, maybe bipolar people, write in. Because fleets of thoughts when you're having a manic or hypomanic episode feels like good.
Yeah.
Like it's like, I mean,
when you describe it and other bipolar people describe it, it's almost like cocaine-y.
Yes, it's very drug-like. It's like,
I'm going to fix that, and I'm going to make that, and I'm going to be the first person to do this.
It feels so productive.
It's incredible. Yeah. So productive. Okay, Ronnie, do you ever have this feeling? Sometimes I'll feel like when I'm hypomanic, there's a synchronicity to things I'm picking up on that other people are not.
Yeah, you think you're psychic.
Oh. I would argue it's the opposite is what's happening.
I'm listening
to other people are being like, this is not great. And you're being like, everything is perfect. You know, we're all like looking at each other being like, is she running the light by 16 minutes? And you're like, God, I've never been crushing harder.
There was the thing that happened to me. I'll never forget it because I got diagnosed during the pandemic. So I had to like go through my entire history of life and like put on the filter of, oh, I actually might have been crazy for a lot of this. And so it was like a very introspective time. But so I was starting to actually pick up the cues on when I was being hypomanic. And like I still am kind of learning to grasp it with the help of my buddy who can pick it up. But I saw grass moving in the wind. And it was in tune perfectly in my mind with the song I was listening to. And I was like, I might believe in God. Like, it was so powerful. And then I walked down the street and I saw the sun on the side of a building. And the way it was, like, hitting the building, I was like, it's like angel. Like, I was going very in that zone. And then the finale was there was a woman who had died. In the neighborhood, and she was clearly like the mother of all lots of people, like a very giving, loved woman. And there was a poster that people made for her death that like people signed and was like, thank you for taking care of me all the time. And I was looking at this like poster and I just started weeping.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm like crazy for real. Like you pop out every once in a while and you're like, well, this is objectively nuts.
Yeah
I'm crying at a poster.
It's hilarious that like your brain makes you think that you're in tune with everything, and I'm like, man, you are missing some big social cues right now.
Big time. Ronnie, do you get emotional like that?
Yeah, every now and then I have a moment where it's like a come to and you're like, oh, let me take a step back and examine all this.
Were you diagnosed at a younger age?
I was diagnosed when I was 19.
Okay. See, this is why I should take anxiety meds, because I would have made a lot less mistakes if I was diagnosed as a younger person, because I was out there fucking shit up.
Go to therapy. Take your medicine.
Yeah.
Take your diaper off and take care of your mental health.
Yes.
Okay? Just for the sake of everybody around you. It would make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah. And I will.
Great. Me too.
All right. That's,
okay. Thanks for listening.
That's our show for tonight.
You can follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy.
Follow me on Instagram at AndreaComedy69. Follow our podcast at respectfully_pod. And follow my TikTok, AndreaComedy69, because we be posting clips on there.
Yeah.
And we're having a good time. And our YouTube page.
Subscribe.
She's growing. She's blowing. Respectfully_podcast, I believe.
I think we'll put search Respectfully Podcast on YouTube.
It's in all of our links. It's everywhere. It's a lot more fun because you can see us in our kooky little costumes.
Shut up.
What?
We don't talk about that. This is just how we dress.
And also, subscribe. Don't just go on YouTube and watch the videos and get that nut. Hit the subscribe button. Yeah. It helps us out. If you love the
Let
show.
Let us get a piece.
Give us... Oh, and also, rate, review. Write some reviews on Apple Podcast. Do all the things. You love us. We're your crazy friends. Michael, where can they find you, follow you?
I'm at Mike Coscarelli on all social platforms.
Ronnie.
At Ronnie Side on Instagram.
Can we make it Ronnie as a pescatarian?
And all those Hey Mama lesbians, stay away from Ronnie.
Yeah, and the Manic Pixie Dream Girls.
Stay away. She's
be
my
nice
daughter.
To her. Don't stay away from her, but be nice to her.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Guys.